Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit stopguardianabuse.org.
Good evening, everyone. That was a public service announcement from NASGA, National Association to Stop Guardianship Abuse. We thank them for letting us use their commercial. Today is February 2nd, 2022. You are listening to Face Us Radio. That's Families Against Court Embezzlement Unethical Standards Radio on Hidden Truth Revealed on the Blog Talk Radio, the Inside Scoop. My name is Luann Fleming, and I do have one of my co-hosts here. Hillary Hogue is with us tonight. Hillary, say hello to everyone.
Hi, everyone. Happy Wednesday to some of us. Others are trying to make it through the day the best that they can without losing it, because they're going through what more than likely is the worst experience in their life, dealing with probate court. Luann, Marcy, of course, Robin and I, we are here for you, and we do these radio shows so that people like you who are going through it know that there are other people just like you. So, again, I thank Luann and Robin for letting me be a big part of this radio show. Thank you so much.
There you go. Thank you. We also have Robin Austin joining us tonight. Robin, say hello to everybody.
I'm delighted that I could be here. I am happy to join this august body of saints.
There you go.
I look at this group as really a wonderful group of people. I think all those that both participate in these radio shows and those that listen are excellent people, because you're all concerned about justice in our courts and in our lives and defending the rights of those who may have their rights compromised by the system as it exists today. And we are here because we're dedicated to changing lives and to fulfilling a dream of having a just court system, equitable for everyone, where your rights really are defended.
There you go. And again, I'm Luann Fleming. I'm one of your co-hosts, and I'm happy to be here as well. We're going to be having an interesting topic tonight, and we chose this because we think it's very valuable to any listeners tonight. And what we're going to be talking about is a discussion of defending your rights when courts are involved. And so it's going to be a roundtable discussion. Please call in if you'd like, and I'm going to give you the phone number to call in. To talk about anything you want on the subject, family courts, probate courts, juvenile courts, whatever you want to talk about. We're going to be talking about defending your rights when courts are involved. And you also, these are sacred rights, everybody. Every human being has the right to have them. And there's no reason why we can't exercise our freedom of speech, get our due process in court. Today it's really hard to get any of that done. As many of our guests on our show has shown, that this is almost impossible to do in our courts. I mean, there's some good courts out there, don't get me wrong. But when you land into a court that is just not the best, with some really bad players in there, you're going to be in trouble. So we're here to talk to you about some of the problems that we face in the probate courts. And a lot of people know about my story. I was in a probate court with my family, and we ended up getting everything taken away from us. in a probate court. My brother was causing us some problems with my sister. And before you know it, we ended up in a probate court. We had trust. We had powers of attorneys. We had wills. And not one time did I ever think that my family members would be homeless and we would be on food stamps, Medicaid, Medicare. And, of course, we had over $1 million of property. So we had 125 antique cars that were forced off our land, and we lost everything. So, you know, a huge part of us also went out the door with that as well. So there's a lot more to it than anyone thinks, because once you've had your life completely ripped apart, you do want to help others to see if you can not happen to anybody else as it happened to you. And so I'm a witness to that. But feel free to join in the conversation if you want. And we're going to open up our guest lines real soon just to come on to the open mic. And the number that you do that one is 845-241-9962, and you press a 1. And you can tell us your story. You can tell us if you have any solutions for an open mic. You can talk to us about what happened in Tallahassee down there, which we got Marcy Friedman coming on. Let's bring Marcy in right now.
Hi, Lulu. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Good evening, everybody.
Hi, Marcy.
Good. Yeah, so
everybody,
how are you
speaking?
Doing tonight? Good?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. Yes, it was I think it was positive, because going to Tallahassee, first of all, it made me aware how all these laws are being passed and our rights are practically being stripped away. It was an educational trip for me because, of course, Barbara Stone has a deeper level of understanding the law because she is a lawyer and she was also a victim. Her mother died from this abusive guardianship. And I learned about the inalienable rights, which is everybody has the right to pursue liberty and happiness. It's an international right, God-given right. No human being can really take away from us. And she educated the senators in the House of Representatives, and everybody was pretty much quiet, and they were listening in. And we were able to speak about our torturous and horrendous experiences, and also to standing up for our rights, our constitutional rights as well, and due process. So I think it was a very eye-opening for them, for those that didn't understand. And then Ray Contreras went back this week, and he was even in the I enlightened him about the floridachannel.org, that everybody in Florida, yes, anybody can go in there and express their opinions about some of the bills that they're sending. And of course he was also in the channel, and he really was opposed to the person that was appointed Secretary of the State. Because she really, he read her resume, and she doesn't really have a whole lot of experience to run the elder affairs. But regardless, he was heard again, and he ended up having a meeting with one of the senators, the one that was actually giving him a hard time. And then she said, well, I guess, because she's also Cuban, and she also said, well, this is the beauty about being in the United States of America, that everybody does have the right to express their minds and express their opinions. And then he met with her, and she was quite interested in what he had to say. And he said that she was appalled of what really went on his case. So if anything happens, Lulu, they're aware, and we all just try to tell them that if this doesn't stop, more victims will be dying. There'll be more Doc Frank's mom. There'll be more Barbara's mom. There will be more of my mom. And the girl Hillary was there, that her grandparents were also abused by the guardianship process. So I think it was I'm optimistic that at least we're getting it out there and more people know now. And I'm definitely going to go back. And actually, you know, I got to give Hillary Hogue my hats to her, because she's the one that really enlightened all of us about going to Tallahassee, and she was in the task force. And I think it was great. You know, I think we're targeting this horrific wall that was standing between us. And now I hear that it's like the Florida government or the Florida state has a franchise. It's a franchise. This is what I picked up from talking to other people. And other senators were actually approaching me, which I was really touched. And I tell you, people do not like abuse. They don't like what's going on. And they're trying to, but they're not the only voice. So I think Florida is on its way to, and it was recognized by the Senate that the guardianship is in Florida is a problem, and it needs fixing. But from what I hear from other attorneys is it's not even legal to change the law. And so let's see. I'm optimistic, I got to say.
Right. Well, that's good. And I know that I saw that you spoke and you had a really awesome testimony. I posted it. I couldn't get it to post, but I think you can go ahead and put it in to our website.
Well,
very,
Lou,
very emotional,
you know,
very got to him. Right. Go ahead.
I had a whole speech planned, but I did pray before. And I really believe that God, the Spirit of God, it was a magical moment, because I really spoke from my broken heart, and my heart is broken. And when I came back from those 2 days, I told Barbara, I need a break for like 3 days, because it was reliving the nightmare, the torture, the mental torture of our mothers. The brokenheartedness of a vulnerable elder who was always suffering from Alzheimer's and dementia, how the Disability Act violation for putting her through all of that. And, of course, it happened to you as well, Lulu, and thousands of others, that this is, it's criminal. No parent of ours should ever have to suffer that. And to target the loved one, we've also been trafficked, I believe, because from Broward courts to Henry County courts to Glades County courts, I was like a puppet. And hearing this Zoom hearing that they had yesterday from the Britney movement, it was like listening to my case all over again with a different name and a different daughter's name. And it's just it's so systematic that it's just sad that this, and you know, we need to keep on getting out there and speaking up, because we don't want that to happen to us. I definitely don't want my children to have to go through that. And what family is perfect anyway? You know, unbelievable.
Yeah, so that I could go to the movement there. Lisa McCarley and everybody sent me invitations to go.
Yes.
And I think Rick Black was speaking on there, and Carrie Case and all that. I've heard so much of it, so much, you know, and I love that people are speaking out on it. Many advocates need to come together and not just talk about it. They need to go into action and maybe start a radio show, go out, you know, to the representatives, talk about this. Whatever you have to do, do it. I mean, it's the only thing that we won't leave this mess to our children, our grandchildren, if our generation doesn't stop it right now. Right? What do you think, Robin?
Absolutely. We are in a position where it's a turning point in the history of America where the courts are now so corrupt, so many, not all of the courts, but so many of the courts are so corrupt that it is a tipping point because you have hundreds of thousands of people that have already been affected, millions really when you go back through time, that have already been affected by the corruption in courts. Mm-hmm. And there's a large enough body of people who know that that fish stinks, that that it's been long dead and it's been long stinking and they shouldn't be serving it up. And, you know, that it's a toxic, poisonous world that is, that the people that are involved in that corruption are so immersed in it that they can't even, they don't even know how mm-hmm. wicked and how evil they have become. The judges that endorse this behavior mm-hmm. on the behalf of guardians that have hundreds of wards that they never see and that are just figures on a ledger for them, that they move into facilities that they maybe never even look at.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of corruption runs so deep and is so strong that it's harming people left and right, day and night, every single day. There are people put into these situations that no one should have to endure ever because it's completely inhumane. And then that inhumane situation is maintained and defended by the very people that ought to be rescuing those individuals from
right.
it. And
it's
entrenched and so embedded in our culture now that it happens almost with the tacit approval of all of the people that are just out there that sort of go, well, what? You know, that if bad things happen in court, it's probably because you did something wrong. What? If, you know, if the court did something to you, it's probably because you deserved it somehow. What? If something happened to
your court,
well, you know, maybe your papers weren't in order right. I've got my papers in order. I've got a nice trust. I've got a great will. I don't have to worry about any of that. And they've been raised in a culture where they've been educated to lies. That is, that you once you've made your paperwork, once you've arranged with the legal system through the appointed attorney that you selected and that you paid to write up these papers, now your defense is in place and you're defended. You've got advocates that'll go to court and stand up for you and say, no, this is how this person wanted it and this is how it's going to be.
And the court should defend that person's property.
They
but they don't do that.
Should.
They don't
should.
They don't defend absolutely nothing. When I was in court, they didn't give a rat's ass what happened to my family, and I can say that because it's our radio show. But
right.
anyway, I'm just
saying,
and they didn't care one thing about my family. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. They sell the estate,
and then
they celebrate.
Your story is one of hundreds of thousands.
That's one of hundreds of thousands of stories. And I tell you what, I'm not the only person that will come out and say that we were basically completely robbed in court, period.
Right. And if what it has become is organized crime masquerading as...
But they don't care for your family.
As members. A legal entity, as a legal arm of the government.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this arm of the government that has become a criminal organization
mm-hmm.
and that is run by criminals, operated by criminals, reinforced by criminals, and it has an organized crime
mm-hmm.
cabal in every, you know, almost every little town in America, certainly a great many of them, and many of the great cities have organized criminal cabals that run these courts as organized crime
right.
syndicates
right.
where they kidnap people, steal all of their assets, lock that person away, blackmail the family, holding that person as a hostage under threat of harm,
mm-hmm.
and until they drain down the family, they extort money from that family
through the
until
court.
They're drained down,
right.
to nothing, sometimes taking their homes, sometimes taking, you know, taking homes and property that were their, they're the heirs to it. They're, that's their
right.
property that they mm-hmm. should be receiving.
Yeah.
And these courts have arranged for the criminal cabal to take all this. This is what's going on.
Yeah.
And if you or I were
and,
to do
and
this.
I want,
go ahead, Marcia.
I wanted to let you know that the Department of Homeland Security, after they had the month of January bringing that to light, there is a video out that it was shared to me from them, and it says the Department of Homeland Security it's training on how to recognize human trafficking, and one of those being human trafficking infringes people's human rights, exploits them for labor and sex, and rob them of their liberty. And the signs of potential victims are physical/emotional abuse, bruising, coached behaviors, fearful, timid, submissive behaviors, and limiting the actions of an individual by coaching them, controlling a person's identity and documents, restricting access to money, controlling a person's movement, and not allowing them to have access to money, or controlling the movement of the person. Now, doesn't that describe guardianship abuse? Because my mother experienced every bit of them.
Right.
And
so bit of it. And nowadays, you can't even go into a court to defend your own parents, because then they try to get something against you, saying that you're mentally ill yourself, or they make up some cock and bull how you're extorting money out of your own family when you took care of that family for 50 years. I mean, I'm so appalled when they came back to my family one time.
Yeah, they fabricate.
You know, after taking care of my mom, congratulations, you know how to take care of your mother. It's like, I've been taking care of my mom for 40 years. You know, that whole thing just makes me so angry.
I can't stand how can you hear me?
People. Yeah, go ahead, Hillary.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, you know, just talking about what happens in the courtroom, I somehow came across it's part of a transcript with Judge Lester, who I believe is retired. He was the judge for the most part on Jan Garwood's case. And I'll just read, if it's okay, a little excerpt, which really, I just couldn't believe it. So it's Judge Lester, and he's talking to the lawyers. It's a hearing about, you know, fees for the attorneys, guardians, and examining committee members. And this is Judge Lester speaking. You know, this has worked exactly the way it's supposed to work. That's the way to look at it, guardianship, because we're used to them always going along very swimmingly, very smoothly, and there's no problem. These people get sort of let out of the cattle chute into the guardianship pens and reduced to guardianship and all the rest of it. That's the way it goes. So here you have a judge who is basically comparing human beings to cattle. Not that there's anything wrong with cattle, but he's just saying that they're just like cattle, that they're meaningless. And then at the end of this this little bit of the transcript at the bottom, he says, hang on just a second. This is Judge Lester speaking. You know, we have to sell the house. We've got to sell the house. That's what the main issue is. And as far as I'm concerned here today, because that house is wasting away. I reviewed it. We've got to sell the house, and the house needs to be sold. We'll sell it as quickly as possible. Then we can have funds. Pay the attorneys. Pay the guardians. Pay the doctors. Pay the cost.
And after that, we'll put the rest in a pool trust. I just don't want to have any problems. And this is exactly, dogs are not smart. And that's the way it turns like.
Yeah.
Okay,
but
Hillary, that was a great point because the same thing happened to my mother. I said, I'm supposed to inherit that beach apartment. And something happens to me, it would go to my daughter. She says, I decided I'm going to sell it. I want to know where in the Constitution of the United States says that a judge is allowed to sell anyone's property. And it went from one year, and he said, dare you call DCF, okay? That was the first judge. Then he said, I decided to sell it. They're putting my mother next to their attorneys. And my mother, of course, had Alzheimer's and dementia and short-term memory loss, because I have the CAT scan to prove it. And they're brainwashing her. And who knows what they told her, because she had no idea. And I wasn't allowed to talk to my mother. And this judge decides to sell it. When he put it for sale, my attorney that I was representing me said, oh, now we're going to go celebrate. And I go, what? And then they found out that she was being paid by the guardians too. Not by the guardians, but my mother's guardianship funds. And she was playing both because that's how she was going to get her money. And I think that is criminal. And that shouldn't happen. You know, and I want to know where in the Constitution it says that a judge is allowed to sell somebody's property. There isn't anywhere.
No. And you know, in Florida, we have the homestead. You know, you homestead your house, and if there's a judgment against you, anything goes in the sense of guardianship. But just to hear a judge, you know, compare the elderly and disabled to cattle, and it's just a sad connotation on what we know as reality. So thanks for letting me read that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, it is, it makes it very clear what I was talking about earlier about the institutional blindness that these judges suffer from. They really do think of people as a commodity.
They do.
They really do think of them like cattlemen think of cattle. They are dollars and cents, and they don't put the human being into the equation at all, because that's not something that you can put into a calculator. And so that's not into the figures.
Yeah.
And if you don't add it into the balance sheet of profits and losses, they don't really exist. All they are is just an obstacle that has to be dealt with. And the easiest way to facilitate dealing with that obstacle is to simply own them, make them property, guardianize them. Now you have a guardian. Now that person doesn't exist at all, except they're not a human being anymore. Now they're a piece of property that is manipulated by a court-empowered predator who comes in to take everything out of the hands of that individual. They cease to exist. Their identity has been seized, and they are now a court property that this individual divides up among the court, and everybody goes and celebrates. And that's exactly what that judge was indicating. We're going to sell this house, and we're going to go and celebrate. We're going to pay this one, this one, this one, this one, and then we're going to go celebrate. That's how it's done. That's what we're going to do. There's no thought of this is the property of this individual that has been guardianized. There's no thought of that individual anymore at all, because they don't exist in the court. They're not a matter for the court, because they're not something you can actually buy and sell until you convert them into a property through guardianship.
And the saddest thing about all of this is when your mother or your loved one isn't really incapacitated, and they're being taken away from their family members, and then they're made to be quiet. They hush these people up. They drug them, and they do whatever they can.
They bully them.
So they can't talk.
Drug them. They forbid them to talk in court. They
take away their property, and it's all done in a court. The court gives them the right to go in there and give them to a perfect stranger.
Well, it gives them the power.
They
really don't have the right. That's why it's a crime.
It's a crime.
Because
we are empowered
by our Creator with certain inalienable rights.
That's a crime, in my opinion.
Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have the right to our life, to live our life. Your life belongs to you. My life belongs to me. To live my life is my right as I see fit. No one has the right to take that away from me, to deny me the opportunity to live as I see fit. Unless I harm someone else in the way that I live, I should be left alone to live my life as I see fit. It's my life. So these individuals who guardianize someone are taking away that fundamental principle that your life is your life and my life is my life, and they're turning them into property. That's a violation of our Constitution and of natural law that our Constitution is based on.
That's why I invite anybody to the radio show, that if they think they have a remedy, if they think they have a remedy of stopping the madness in our courts, protecting our elderly, I want them to come on to our radio show.
We
want
to talk to
it.
Them, absolutely.
Because,
well,
go ahead, Marcy.
Sorry. No, I do want to enlighten from what Robin was saying about the inalienable rights and that they're not allowed to say it. Well, one of the senators in Florida, Senator Torres, said, "I don't understand these judges. What do they mean? They don't see facts, true and convincing facts? Do they, do these people drink water and then change their minds?" This was one of the senators that said that. After we spoke and we came back and Ray went, and I was looking at the video, the one senator said, Senator Garcia said, "Oh, we're compassionate here. We're not the ones with the black robes." And to hear her say that, so we are getting through to them, they're beginning to say, "Hey, do I want this happening to us?" She said, "I take care of three elderly women in my family." And then Ray, I think when he met with her, said, "The Cuban people don't put their mothers in a nursing home. They take care of them like you're taking care of them."
Right.
"My mother's biggest
right.
fear was to live in a nursing home." So I think that, Robin, one of the things that I think was really positive that we did, and I know that you guys have done it too, is go to the Capitol when they're passing these bills and be a part of that and speak
mm-hmm.
up and try to get people to go more and more. And if they can't go to the channel of that Capitol, like Florida is. I don't know what it would be in your state or anybody else's state, but Florida is the floridachannel.org, and you are able to go in there and make comments and express your opinions. And I think if we continue to do this and not give up and speak of the horrendous terrorized experience that our parents were victimized and we as daughters and sons, I think we're going to get through to people more and more, because there's a huge movement now that on that Zoom hearing yesterday, they were talking about, maybe going to the Capitol building and pick 1 month out of the year where it's dedicated to guardianship abuse and human trafficking. Guardianship human trafficking, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
And
that's
and
exactly what it is.
Who in the world wants that to happen to them and their loved one? Only
exactly.
those, the predators and the croonies.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Hey, we're going to be opening up our mic here, so anybody can come to the show and talk about defending your rights when courts are involved. I mean, a lot of people end up into these courts and they have no idea what to do. What can they do to get their loved one out? Talk to somebody. We've got a lot of advocates across the country that can help, at least guide you on what to do and what not to do. So call into our show if you have any good remedies. The phone number, and this is every week, keep this phone number, it's 845-241-9962, and you're pressing 1. That's 845-241-9962, you press a 1. And remember that all of these shows are recorded and archived at the Hidden Truth Revealed, and that's on Blog Talk Radio. And there's like, what, 300 shows on there that we've talked about the same kind of guardianship, family courts, and it's something that you need to understand before you think you're going to get guardianship of your parent, or say suddenly have dementia and you have arguing family members. Be careful about going to any probate courts and try to settle this within your family. Try not to go to a court if you don't have to. And there's many other ways that you can end up in a probate court. You can slip and fall. You could, you know, go to a hospital. You can have a relative turn, you know, turn you in and say there's something wrong. There's so many different ways.
A neighbor can do it.
A neighbor. Anybody can.
A bypasser can do it.
Yeah, so be
anyone
careful.
Anyone can make a claim that you're incapacitated and point the finger at you and point a court official at you. And the next thing you know, you don't have to wind up in court. They go to court. A so-called guardian will go to court and say, this person's incapacitated and we need an emergency guardianship on them. Mm-hmm. The next thing you know, it's, who is it? Well, it's the police with your new guardian, and you are going with them, or the police will put you in handcuffs and escort you out, and you will go with them. And you didn't have, you had no idea that it was coming. You had no idea that it was happening. Nobody notified you that there's a court hearing about you going on. Next thing you know, you're locked away in a facility that they have chosen, and your family members don't even know what happened to you, where you went. You weren't allowed a phone call. You weren't allowed a lawyer. You weren't allowed nothing, because this isn't, you're not under arrest. You've just disappeared into guardianship, and no one can know except the guardian contact them and let them know. It's horrible.
Right, right. And, you know, they don't say on the court papers, it doesn't say we're going to go and involve the sheriff's office to basically just, you know, put the cuffs on and put her in Baker Act. They say we give the approval to, we grant the petition to enjoin Mrs. Jones to appear wherever, you know. So, I mean, they've got fancy words, but I'll say, you know, and I'll use Mrs. Rojas's name because I love Mrs. Rojas, and I do believe she loves me as much. You know, Omar, her son, should be at home. That is a given. But in guardianship court, at least in Highlands County, you've got to have a lawyer with you. You can't file anything on your own. And, you know, Mrs. Rojas and I called to see if she could get a hearing to try and get Omar home. And the JA basically said, well, the only thing I can suggest that you do is call the guardian and her attorney and set something up. Well, A, you know that's not going to happen. And B,
right.
You know, there are a lot of people that are not necessarily struggling. They're the working poor. They're what keep this country going. They are working full-time jobs and watching every nickel that they have. So to think that anyone, could afford, the average person cannot afford an attorney that charges $350 an hour and charges, you know, that rate for a phone call, an email back and forth. So it is, you know, it is a rigged system, I believe. I don't know what you believe. I believe it's a rigged system, and it's got to stop. It's got to stop. I am just really, I am so angry about what is being done by these attorneys. And I'm going to start stressing this to the attorneys. They're the ones that run the show. They are getting paid by the wards, our parents, and they are doing nothing to add
advocate for the wards. So,
nothing. Absolutely nothing.
But
absolutely
you know what, Hillary? But you know what, Hillary? When I see guardianship, I thought that a judge would be honest, ethical, and want to protect. And I went as the only daughter and next of kin. Everyone knows that somebody suffering from Alzheimer's and dementia go through. They're not well in the mind. They get agitated. They get confused. They get delusional. They suffer from psychosis. It was appalling to me to see that you go in front of a judge and they can't see that. Just like Senator Torres said. He said in New York, he came from law enforcement. That didn't seem to be happening where he was there. A judge would know, hey, that's the daughter and next of kin. And especially when you're not even a criminal. If it's somebody that's so dysfunctional, that's a criminal, has a record, well, that's a different story. But a daughter that only wanted to protect him from those who ended up isolating her and neglecting her and holding her captive inside a garage for 7 years and three judges and not seeing that. So
right.
I don't know. I'm not pointing the fingers. I'm just saying their names. I know they can retaliate. And
exactly.
But wrong is wrong. If it smells fishy, if it looks fishy, it smells fishy, it's fishy. So,
right.
You know.
I know, exactly. Hey, we have a caller. It's a 303 number. Let's take them in. It is open mic night, 845-241-9962. You press a 1, and that will get you live onto our show tonight, 845-241-9962. You press a 1, and 303, you have a question or a comment. Welcome to the show.
303, you're live on the air. What would you like to talk about?
That might be the 303 number, or is it the...
Yes. Hi, how you doing?
All right.
Calling.
Good, how you doing?
Good.
First time I've been on the call, and I am in a similar situation. Have the feeling that the courts are corrupt, the attorneys are corrupt, and in my particular situation, it's gone on for 6 years, and I have the evidence to show that all of the parties going through the process are corrupt, and as well as the Attorney Regulatory Council, and for those in other areas of the country, the Attorney Regulatory Council in Colorado is the organization that conducts the review of attorneys that are grieved for performance or malpractice. And so they're the committee that's supposed to oversee the attorneys and make sure that they're conducting themselves in a professional way. And from the 6 years of going through the process, I have the information and evidence that shows that when you're in your process and you feel like your attorney or another attorney isn't acting properly, and in my case, concealing evidence, you would go to the Attorney Regulatory Council and file a grievance. And I did that. I filed 5 of them. And then I got no satisfaction. So the following year, I filed 6. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is as I listen to everyone's questions or, you know, issues that are bringing up, the most powerful thing that we have is the consistency of their fraud. And if we have a chain of attorneys, or we have a chain of conduct, or we have similar actions that have been done in everyone's cases, then we have a repeated pattern that we could go after the attorneys for, after the Attorney Regulatory Council, and after specific judges. So the way I've approached it more is that instead of, you know, complaining about it or bitching about it, I've spent a lot of time with various people over the last 6 months who have similar problems. And what you see is the relative consistency of the, like I say, the consistency of their fraud. And so you have to turn it back on them. And so how do you turn it back on them? And you kind of have to look at it like an insurance policy, is they are required to conduct themselves in a professional way. If you ever want to know what your attorney is supposed to do, read the professional conduct code of an attorney. It's 180 pages, especially in the later chapters like pages 140 through 180. It's rather compelling what an attorney is required to do. And I would imagine that if everyone read those 40 pages, they would say, my attorney didn't follow any of those things. Another pattern that they do is they're only capable of talking about one issue at a time. Usually in all these probate cases, there's 5-10 issues, but the attorneys string it out because they can only talk one issue at a time. I heard a person bring up the financing issue. We have to sell a house. You don't have to sell a house. You can offer to buy the house. You can offer to buy the house from the estate. If it's in the will or in receivership or whatever, offer to buy the house. The PR or conservator or guardian is going to push back on that because they have 20 little minions that they're going to fire sell your house. They have their brokers. They have this. They have that. They have the inspectors. And that house will be sold 2 or 3 times after it's sold, after you sell it, because they have a series of people that are going to make $10,000, $20,000 a clip through the process. So you have to get their names. Like we know in Colorado, there's a guy named Graco. Graco is a guy that does all the inspections. If that name sounds familiar in Colorado, then that's probably a good place to start. And what you're going to see is that this is a mass consortium of fraud. It's the same players. It's the same attorneys. So I'll give you an example. My identity was stolen, and through the court proceedings, we always thought it was my father that stole my identity. But as it turned out, it was the personal representative that stole my identity. And we didn't find that out for 4.5 years. So there's a concept called good faith. Every action that a fiduciary takes has to be in good faith. So if they are conducting themselves in fraud, that is not good faith. And any action by that personal representative, guardian, conservator, that is not in good faith, then you could question it, and then it could be kicked out. And in our particular case, a third of our complete trial was kicked out because of the fraud of my sister, and ultimately it was followed up by the fraud of the personal representative, and we're going to see what happens on that. But what I would say to the group is that we have some very interesting issues that are going about. And I'm new to this, but I've spent 30 years in contracts and building national platforms. And what I see in this group is the need to consolidate information so that, A, we can see where we have similarities with the group and offer points of contest and pushing back on the group. In my particular case, there's about 24 attorneys that will be either grieved or sued as a result of their unauthorized use of my identity. Judges, they are required, if you are interested in knowing what they're supposed to do, read the canons of a judge. They're not doing it. And it's easier said than done. But what you have to do is, in the state, if you treat this like an insurance policy, is that the states have various rules and requirements, and you are required to respond claim against the state within 183 days of your action. Well, and for many of us, that's gone and away. But on the new cases and new issues and new probate and the new listeners, is you can file a claim against the state of Colorado or your particular state for the actions of state employees in this process. And so the last thing I guess I'll leave you with is that you have to turn the tables on the attorneys, and you have to turn the tables. And many times your attorney is part of the process. Your attorney is just another cog that it's like, imagine it like going to a dance or a dance class. And, everyone looks around. It's like, we're going to do the salsa this time. Okay, we're doing the salsa. Oh, we're going to do the rumba. We're going to do the rumba. It is a sequenced, choreographed exercise in – it's not even an exercise of law. It's an exercise of fraud. The judge is in on it. If you complain to the Attorney Regulatory Council, they're in on it. And so they have all the gaps filled. And so what you have to do is you have to get the information that basically shows that they're acting fraudulently. And then as a group, the people on this call and the people that will follow us, is we have to build a template on how to take issue by issue, fact by fact down. And the example of that would be power of attorney. I'll tell you how many cases I've heard in the last 3 months where the power of attorney is being violated. So as a group, we have to figure out state by state, how is the power of attorney being violated by the courts? How is it being violated by the judges? And in those particular cases, we as a group need to establish a foundation or fund that helps people smash that issue through the courts, ultimately probably to the Supreme Court or the state Supreme Court. We have to take issue by issue and blow it up in their face. And we're not going to win every issue. But there has to be foundation, there has to be money that supports the issue as it arises. And then the templates are, as issues develop, you know, we don't need to build the rocket over and over and over again. We need to have a coordination or an aspect of coordination with this group that says, oh, you've got the power of attorney issue. Here's the documents. Here's your filings. This will help your attorney. And then really, I mean, I hate to say this, but this group needs to form attorneys that we can actually trust, because I would say 90% of the probate attorneys are in the bag at this point. And even if they're your attorney, they're not your attorney. So I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to talk, and there'll be more. I'm going to be filing. I filed a $10 million lawsuit or a claim against the state of Colorado in September. I named two judges, the Chief Justice of Arapahoe County, another justice. I named four people on the Attorney Regulatory Council, and I've got new and better information at this point as a result of going to court. And so one of the things that I would like to help support this group is how to approach, and going forward in the future podcast, is what am I doing to attack the system? And if there's coordination, or if there's help that I can do, or give you some conceptual ideas of how to approach this, I think it could be interesting. So I thank you for
that
the time.
That could be very interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, at your convenience sometime in the future, we would love it if you would be a guest on this show so that we can explore a lot of this very much in depth, because you're making points that really need to be made, and you're telling truths that need to be heard and that really are helpful. My own experience was that I was in courts in North Carolina when I had a lawyer that was cheating, lying, and stealing, and they had made promises that they weren't keeping. They had made contracts that they weren't honoring, and they had inflated their bill and were inflating it at the rate of about $1,500 a month, pretending like that was something legal or, you know, ethical. And in the letter that they sent me, they said, if you want to contest this, then you send a letter here. And so I composed a letter.
Yeah. We composed a great letter, everybody.
And contested it in great detail, saying this is exactly what happened, this is exactly what was said at what time, because I had kept meticulous records. And I said, this is the evidence, this is the witnesses, this is what happened, this is why this person is cheating, lying, and stealing. And
we actually got a good remark from the bar saying,
basically, the what happened was shortly after we submitted that letter, we got a letter from the attorney saying, we don't have an issue with you.
Yeah,
we won't be pursuing this.
Yeah.
We will, you know, you don't owe us anything because we're not going to try to collect anything. So
right.
There's no
so
further action needed. There's nothing going
to
be, you know, we're not trying to collect this. And if I had had more and better education and understanding of the situation, then I would have moved into pursuing a suit against the parties that had been involved.
Yeah.
So I'd love to talk with you more about that in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, just
to comment on that last part of that billing, what they do is, and it's interesting because we have talked before about how possibly they get loans and all this kind of stuff and pay, you know, HELOCs, and then suddenly they're paid off overnight. But what I think another avenue that they're doing that requires oversight, and that there is already quite a bit of oversight with COLTAF in Colorado, it's called COLTAF, where the lawyers are supposed to regulate their funds going through any payments, is that I think what they're doing is that they're billing 3X, 4X times. They're billing 12, 13, 14 hours a day for their employees. They're not billing for 18, 24 months. In our particular case, it was 2.5 years before we got a bill, and it was like $300,000. And what they do is that they pile on and they get these experts to say, oh, well, that's normal. And the judges are in on it because they're never going to say, oh, no, you can't charge that money. In the real world, if you don't have your lien on a property or at work in 90 days, you lose it. And so it's a coordinated effort. But where I think with your last point you just made is a perfect point, is when you smell blood in the water or you see blood in the water, like they're no longer wanting to do that, this group pays for an audit of that particular company, that particular attorney's books, and then they do a professional audit, because there is not an accounting firm in this country that will certify the billing records of an attorney if it's 3 years before they bill a client. You cannot possibly certify any of those records. And so you go in and you bust these guys up by blowing up their accounting system. And then I'm really good with data, so I've developed a system that tracked my particular personal representative's billing, and I can tell you anything about it. I can tell you more about it than they can. So it's just a way that we can, and I'm happy to share this technique, but they are literally using the judge and the deference that they are required to give these people because they're so honorable, which they're not. But how you blow it up is you say, all right, I want to, then this is what I'm going to do with mine. I want to see a professional accounting, a certification of your accounting. And what they're going to do is two things. They're going to see that, you know, technically they're supposed to be averaging 5 to 6 to 6.2 hours a day. Well, suddenly these people are going to be billing 8, 12, 13 hours a day. Well, how are they doing that? Well, they're doing it over 3 clients. So 3 clients, 4 hours a day is 12. But there's only 8 hours in the day. They're 2Xing, 1.5, 2Xing their billing cycles. And how do you know that? So the next part of it is you have to get the accounting on the COLTAF side. And I think what they're doing is they're leaking. And if let's say $100,000 comes in, that $100,000, only $50,000 of it hits the COLTAF account, $50,000 hits their operations. So what does that mean? They still got $100,000. Well, they only really reported $50,000 in their COLTAF account. There is no one regulating. There's no one certifying that the money's coming in that $50,000 to COLTAF, $50,000 operations. So they then have that $50,000 to distribute to their minions, and no one is the wiser. So you not only process their books, their accounting, for fraud on 2X, 3X billing, which is fraud, you go after their COLTAF account and you see how that money is coming in and how that money is being processed, because I guarantee you it's not all hitting the COLTAF account. And put these guys in jail with their accountants and their accounting. So that would be
you got me kind of hypnotized here.
One of the things that we discovered in the looking over the account of Luann's family was that there was a property that was in their family, that there were two properties right next to each other, and both of them were sold, and only one of those sales, the proceeds went into the trust account that the trustee, the court-appointed trustee, was administrating, and the other $60,000 that came from the other property that was on the tax records just disappeared, vanished.
I have no idea what happened to it.
There was no accounting of it at all in any of that trustee's records pertaining to those accounts. So we know that there was, you know, this absolutely theft of this money that should have been going into that account, that it just disappeared. It vanished mysteriously.
Yeah, and I wish I would have known all this before all that.
And it was the same day that individual made a very large down payment, sold two properties of our family and the other, and another family that we were acquainted with.
Many other families.
Sold at least those two properties the same day that a very large down payment was made on a big building that they bought. And so so we know this dirty business went on.
Yeah.
So what you do on that, and this is what I did on mine, is you lien the properties. So if you go into probate or you go into conservatorship or whatever, if you have any relationship or agreements with your family that you get this particular property, you get that, you immediately go in and you lien that property. And so that the PR or the conservator cannot sell it. Lien it or put a lien on it.
We had one of our properties that had a lien on it from by one of my brothers, and they just overrode that. So
beautiful.
That didn't help either.
And you go after the title company. So this is what I did in my particular case, is I knew that they were selling the property. I called the title company a day before the sale. And this is the greatest information I can give everyone on this call, is you always record your lawyer's conversation, your conversation with your attorney. You always record conversations you have with representatives of the estate or whatever. It is the greatest gift that they will give you, because they will tell you things. Now, you have to understand your state laws on recording, especially telephone calls. Or you just tell your attorney in the beginning, I'm recording this. Or you tell the person on the call, I'm recording this. Record your conversations. And so when I called the title company the day before they closed on a $1 million property, I go, I have a lien on this property. And then they went and sold it. So now I'm going to go in and file a claim against the title company. So you want to preserve your particular rights. I'm not saying that this is a guarantee, and I'm not saying that I've won on this yet. All I'm saying is you have to protect your position. So if you go into conservatorship or guardian and you have an issue, lien it or list sentence the property and be able to explain why you're doing it. I was promised this property, so that they can't just go out and sell it. Next thing, make an offer on the property. Make an offer that they can't, so that say, I want to buy the property. And then if they say, well, you can't afford it, this or that, I will show you how you can afford that property. And third, the other things that you should consider is suing the estate. Is that, you know, it doesn't make sense in the fact that, well, why would I sue the estate? Why would I sue the conservatorship? Why would I sue my family? It's because these people are representatives of your guardian or whatever. And so they have a fiduciary duty. And so they are, if you sue, if there's misconduct, and that misconduct essentially is by your parents, even though they may not have the capacity, it is the parents' misconduct through a representative. these people have insurance policies. So one of the things that you consider doing is you actually sue yourself, or you sue the estate for their performance, because it's just not that, and it's not necessarily the first thing you think about, but it should be. So there's there's just various tactics that you use to to explore this. And that's why the whole templated process is so important. I found out more information about my case the second I fired my attorney, and I couldn't afford an attorney anymore because I got to see everything and I read everything. And so and I would not necessarily recommend it. I would recommend having a trustworthy attorney. But where this is going, I think, is and hopefully I will share all this information with the group, and I've talked to a couple of people in this before, is I think that the conduct is a class action suit. And in the state of Colorado, I would imagine it's $500 million or more. And so if you want to get the attention of the people in your state representative or congressional districts, is you and Lynn has contact, and people have contact with the various representatives in the states, you show them a class action suit for $250 or $500 million for the breach of fiduciary duty of the judicial system, the attorneys, and the regulatory council. That will get their attention. And so we have to view this as a marathon and not a sprint. And so every tactical aspect of, well, I'm getting screwed on the power of attorney. Okay, you're in the power of attorney group, and we have 500 people there. Well, I'm on the breach of fiduciary. Okay, well, here's the breach of fiduciary. There's 10 different. Do you know that? Another one is contempt, lying in court. It happens all the time. You just have to catch them. And so, if you get a contempt order, the contempt orders don't expire usually. And so if people aren't providing the information or concealing information for you, that's contempt. You could put them in jail. So there's just various tactics that you have to use. And I didn't know this 6 years ago. And I got my head caved in for 6 years because my attorneys didn't protect me. My attorney sold me out. And but big advocate of truth and respect for the systems, and the systems have to work. So you have to make the systems accountable. And this is, I think, what I can do to help. My track record is only as good as many of the people on this phone, but I have very, very good facts, and I have very good information. And I think this is a $500 million class action. We just have to figure out the parts and pieces between the group.
Right, exactly. Wow, this has been really excellent that you called into the
show. Always a pleasure to talk with you, my friend. We appreciate your calling in tonight.
It's been excellent. Yeah, gosh almighty.
So the last thing I would do is, like, the people, and I'm not teaching or professing or coaching or anything of this nature, but if you were going to spend an hour a day on this, making yourself better, and you were going to do what it takes, if you're going to spend an hour complaining about it, or a half hour complaining about it and a half hour working on a solution, or 45 minutes working on a solution, 15 minutes complaining about it, I would say try and spend 50 minutes a day of that hour working on a solution. And everyone likes to talk about the 10 minutes, but get your 10-minute elevator pitch down clear, because you don't know who you're talking to. And then when you run into another person that has a similar case, you're going to just be looking for facts, and you're going to be looking for similarities with your case or other things you heard. So it's really easy to say, fall into the category of a victim. All right, we're all victims. Now let's just go out there and kick some butt. And if we're going to go down, we're going to go down swinging. We're not going to go down complaining. And so spend 50 or 50
go.
50 to 55 wow. minutes to lose.
I'm so glad you called in. You are on.
Yeah. I'm sitting here taking down notes, but, oh, my gosh, excellent. I've got your phone number. I know who you are. I'm not going to say it right here. But, yeah, let's stay in touch, and let's get some ass.
That's right. That's right. And positive.
It's the only thing
I mean,
we can do is
be positive.
Walk all over us.
Yeah.
So something needs to be done about this.
Well,
I
yeah,
agree.
And so, I wouldn't say it unless I had it. I have the facts. I have really, really good facts. And the only reason why I have them is because I was forced to, I believe my attorneys were doing the best in my interest. And I sat by, and every instinct I had during the process was telling me, this is BS. This is crap. And it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the,
yeah.
the good thing about it is if the technique of recording people over time, I've got recordings for 3.5 years. And that's the only reason why I am in the position I am today. Sometimes it's patience. Sometimes it's, I use the analogy, it's like climbing Mount Everest. And I've never done that, but I assume it's very difficult. And so the first part of Mount Everest when you're climbing is you only see 6 to 10 feet in front of you because the only thing you could think about is breathing and saying a lot. And you're in this torturous process. Well, when you finally get to the top, you look around. And you can see all the dead bodies, and you can see all the canisters, and you can see everything. And it's just like, oh, my God, it's all right in front of me. And it is. At that point,
right.
it will be. But you have to make that journey. And the other part about it is when you're on the top of the mountain, you can only stay there for so long, or you're going to die. And so for this group, mm-hmm. we don't complain. We solution, and we solve problems. We only have a short period of time we can attack, because time is on their side. And I'll leave it with that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much for calling in. I mean, that's excellent. Wow, I don't know what to say about that. That's pretty excellent. I agree with you exactly. Let's go down to another caller, 713. You have a question
Hi.
Or comment?
Hi. Hi, this is Roberta. Oh, we've got 2 713s.
Yeah, we got
Maybe?
713
oh.
right now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You're on.
You're on. Hey,
Roberta,
this is
hi.
Roberta calling from Houston, Texas. I'm an RN. And, wow, that last caller was – talk about insight. Wow. Yeah. I am really interested, and I am prepared to help, and certainly I'm a former contracts analyst for Mobil Oil, and like I say, I'm a registered nurse, and I've been really scammed by a fiduciary in Sacramento, California, who's actually been the subject of a recent CBS expose. It was a five-night expose. I believe it's called The Price of Care. It was the five nights in Sacramento, and it's allowed me to connect with some other people that are very interested in following up with this fiduciary. His name is Zachary Young, and his mother founded a company, Carolyn M. Young Fiduciaries in Sacramento, and they're known as, everything that we know about fiduciaries. I found the court to be somewhat friendly to me because I think they, in their hearts, know that you know, what's right. But in the end, this fiduciary's bills, we all know the story, hundreds of thousands
yeah.
of dollars. He has a staff of a doctor, a nurse. They visit the patients. You can just imagine the hundreds of thousands of dollars. I've watched millions of my mother's estate. She was in hospice for 5 years, and she just died a few months ago. She died on October 20th. So this is still very fresh in my mind. It's still – we are just now entering probate. And so I need to find a probate attorney in Sacramento, California that will – I actually went pro se this last mm-hmm. hearing because I couldn't find an attorney that would represent me honestly.
Right. Yeah.
The last attorney I had They didn't even bother. They didn't even bother to show up at the hearing. And I called them on it, and I said, you didn't even show up at the hearing. You didn't even submit a substitution of attorney judicial form. And they admitted it. The partner, I talked to the partner of the firm and told him I was going to report them to the California bar. And he said, don't do that. We'll give you your $20,000 retainer back, and we'll help you clean up this mess. Well, that doesn't excuse the fact that you didn't show up for a hearing, and now I don't have an attorney at all. And it, mm-hmm. What a mess. But I'm very interested in it. The abuse is rampant in Sacramento, California, and they've got to do something about it. And I'm here to help.
Excellent.
Yeah, I took your phone number down. Yeah, there you go. We got some good people out in California. There's quite a few of them out there. I can give you several names.
So we will hit you up after the show with your permission. We'll call and put you in contact with other people that we can network, we can develop networks with, mm-hmm. or help you develop a network of individuals that you can talk with and network with to sort of discuss the issues.
I've had some wonderful allies. Including a geriatric psychiatrist out in El Dorado Hills, who has been incredibly helpful. She really went to bat for me because the opposing parties, if you will, you know how it mm-hmm. goes. They try to make you look like you're mentally ill, that you're just causing problems. You don't understand that your mother's dying. You don't. I'm like,
I'm a registered assassination here. A little gaslighting there.
I have a sterling, reputation. I serve on the board of the University of Texas Nursing Partners. Don't pull that on me, but they did anyway,
and
they get away with it.
Right.
So. Anyhow,
I do have a good attorney out there. I will give you reference to that. Will not rip you off. She's been in many of our cases and helped many families out there so far. And she might be able to refer you to someone that will rip you off. Yes.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Always thinking that this attorney, they tell me the cavalry's coming. I'm here to help you. And then
I've got your back.
I honestly had an attorney.
Our attorney
that
says,
I got your back,
and I realized he had our back pocket. Yeah.
Well,
that was one of our jokes. But anyway.
One of my early attorneys, I think, was just using me as a pawn to get in sweet with the conservator, this scamming, fraudulent, thieving conservator out in California. And he'd come back and he'd tell me, don't poke the bull, don't complain that he filed the inventory and appraisal late and never told us about it and left off properties and we won't complain about that because he does have the right to make it so you can't visit your mother, but let me tell you,
I took him and
we played golf last week. And after a couple of beers, he talks.
there you go. Hey, but after the show, I'll get a hold of you, and I'll give you some phone numbers out there, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Appreciate it.
I'm enjoying the show tonight very much, and that last caller was incredibly insightful.
Oh, I know, man. We're going to get it back onto our show as soon as we can. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just stay on with us right now if you want to. There you go. We've got another caller. There you go. Yeah. Another caller, a 210 number. You have a question or a comment?
Anything? Hi, Luann. This is Laura in San Antonio. I do have a comment. Someone can write down, I'm going to give you an email or a phone number or both, but I would like to just share something that occurred. I got a hold of Dolce Fino Consulting out of Houston, Texas. Then the investigator / I believe he's an attorney or private investigator. His name is Dolce Fino. I will spell it. His email is Wayne, W-A-Y-N-E, at D like David, O-L-C, like Charlie, E-F like Frank, I-N-O .com. DulceCino.com. Do you know who that is?
Laura, didn't they just do a Exploiting the Elderly? Did they just do a film on that? I mean, because they
I
think I received that. It's awesome, everybody. I'm going to try to post it. I tried to post it, but I couldn't get it to post, you know.
So I have it on my Facebook. And his office manager, Teresa Easter, let me know today that he's an investigative consulting firm, and he's hired by people to investigate companies and police officers and politicians that are like public corruption, et cetera, right? He exposes injustice and fraud. And basically, if you're interested as a group, everyone can pitch in a little bit of money. But what he does is he consults for $500 via Zoom. He has a retainer that starts at about $5,000. But what he does is he basically exposes, which is what you're doing, Luann, for pretty much free, right? So we charge, they charge $75 to $350 per hour. Long story short, he did this video that was incredible, and he exposed the main judge of judges here in Texas, in Austin, Texas, Guy Herman. And so everyone else seems to be a puppet of this Guy Herman. But what I did is I did a little study, and I went behind the scenes, and I was studying the Supreme Court, the role of the Attorney General, for example, of Texas. There is a special department, a compartment at the Attorney General, and each state should have that. And this is where they're supposed to be investigating phone calls, so that when you call and expose something like a guardianship fraud or an abuse or a pattern of a guardian having a lot of, you know, wards, if you will, such as the case that's happening here in San Antonio, New Braunfels, they're supposed to be investigating with FBI and IRS. So I'm wondering, where the heck is OAG? Where is the Supreme Court? Where is, and now of the politics? Yeah, exactly. They promise you everything, vote for me, vote for me. And at the end of the day, they're ignoring it. And they're all hiding. And as we saw in Tallahassee when Marcy was over there with this other gentleman, this senator marathoned out of the protest where he was protesting and saying, hey, listen to us. She hasn't even had an opportunity to get on the elderly couch. And the senator just rushed him off like a marathon because she's a puppet for her boss, the governor. So this needs to stop, and maybe this gentleman on the line. But secondly, I was going to let you know that I've been approached by several people now this past week. I've been approached, and people are now asking questions about, like, what's going on with this Charlie Thrash case in San Antonio and Shelley Thompson in New Braunfels, and what's going on with Mark Miranda with the Christus Santa Rosa Hospital. So the louder we get, the Brittany movement could be our ally, but what I'm suggesting is that there's got to be some room for us to grow as one umbrella, not several little compartments, every state is individual, just one group, one advocacy, and everyone target a different committee, like have a committee leader to say, okay, we're going, you know, just like the gentleman on the phone was saying. But also the attorneys, we need to have a list of those attorneys that we should not be contacting, the judges who are caught with their, you know, hand in the cookie jar. There was a justice of the peace arrested, and in Tarrant County, it came out, I'll Google it. It's all over Google. She was caught, and she was indicted for fraud today in Tarrant County, Texas. So if the we don't have time to be reading all this, and just like Phil Roth, my attorney, said, you and I, Laura, we're a great team together, but we don't have time to be reading and conducting Zoom meetings. I mean, we have to eat and work and all this. Everybody does. So if there is one place where we can all meet but have a more comprehensive agenda so that everybody's targeting, okay, look, it worked out for A and B person. You and I look at our case, and let's contact them and see what we're not doing and or what we're doing. Look at Julie Belshi. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Use her as a source. Because it's like, great, Julie, promote her, what happened with the Guardians and the documentary. But I want to know, Julie, tell me, how do I get Charlie out now? Look at his age. I'm missing out. This is going to be his anniversary that in March 2019 when the Guardian took him away from me. I don't want to be here sitting and think, you know, for the news, oh, Charlie passed away. No, no, no. I want Charlie out. I want accountability. I want them to know that the estranged family and the judge and the Guardian are at fault. They're guilty. This is public corruption. And how now go to the next level? Well, Phil Ross has our U.S. Supreme Court has our motions or our case in their docket. So it's going to be a couple of months. But in the meantime, is there something else that I can partner with some other people to help either expose it more so that we all become more like an advertising agency regarding this matter? I guess the point is embarrass them. Number one, embarrass them. Number two, sue them. And number two, three, if we're not going to wait for karma to get them. We're going to get them.
But in your case with Charlie Thrash, I tell you one thing, that case puzzled the hell out of me. Why they took Charlie from you in the first place? I'm still puzzled about all of that.
Yeah.
Just rip him out of the house and goodbye. We'll see you later.
Yeah, and so, you know, and evict Laura. Don't give Laura a dime or a penny. She's homeless with her kids. They're all homeless. And now Charlie, with tears in his eyes, begging and begging, I don't want to go with Mary Warner to the police, 7 policemen at Chavano Park at our house, begging them, begging, crying, please, I don't want to go anywhere with this woman. He told me that morning, he said, do you know that last night she made me call her babe? And I said, she what, Charlie?
Oh, no.
Excuse me? Yeah, yeah, this
well, you
is
know,
abuse.
Always,
Mary Warner
Laura,
is abusive.
Hey, it's always great when
Pardon
you call
me?
Under a show and an update on this, and I love the video
you
sent me. I'm going to try to get that out more, and because it has Shelley Thompson on there as well, and she's also one of the clients of Phil. Isn't Phil supposed to be going up against the state bar or something like that, do you know?
So I spoke to him the other day, and he said that they postponed it. They postponed it because of the COVID thing. It's a Zoom deal where they're postponing, and I'm like, how in the hell are they postponing? If it's COVID and they're doing Zoom juries all over, why aren't they doing that with Phil? You know? And he said, no, they're postponing it. And he'd been kind of sick anyway under the weather, so I'm kind of glad that they didn't take him. But now, supposedly, instead of two lawsuits against him, now there's a third one.
Okay,
so
well, keep us in touch
really
with him.
After him.
See, you can have him even call me. That would be great. I'd like to talk to him.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
I'll let him know. And Barbara Stone also, I think she's trying to get a hold of him and he's not responding. So I'll let him know right now. I'll text him. But thank you, guys, and keep fighting.
Thank you.
Appreciate you
for coming in. Okay, so we have another caller, an 862 number. Question or comment, please. Do you have a question or comment? Question?
862, you're on the air. Hi,
yes.
Welcome
yep.
to the show. Hello?
Yes, hi, good evening.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. My name is Sue Reeves. My name is Sue. Sue Reeves, and I was actually referred to your podcast by Laura Thrash. She's become an acquaintance of mine through this nightmare that we also are living through. I'm sorry if I'm a little bit nervous. I'm brand new. I'm newly embarking on our guardianship battle. And I honestly would like to think or maybe even coin my son as our nation's youngest victim of the probate courts and the guardianship abuse as a whole. My spouse, kind of similar to Laura and Charlie, it's a common law situation, but I'm from New Jersey. And here in New Jersey, they do not acknowledge common law. We were together 15 years before we had our child together. 17 years when he fell ill. He was only 39 years old. His name is Yusef Davis. I'm sorry. He was only 39 years old when he was deemed incapacitated by a stroke. From the moment that he, even before the guardianship was actually in place, family have completely severed any communication between myself, Youssef, and our now 5-year-old son. Our son was only 2 years old when his father fell ill. for the past, we're going into our 4th year that my son, our son, has not been permitted to have any contact, communication, a visit, a FaceTime, a telephone, nothing. And that's why I consider my son, Skyler, our nation's youngest victim, because the probate court appointed this guardian. Due process was not followed. I guess I'd be considered an interested party. I was never notified of anything. We have been completely and totally iced out, blocked out, banned, forced isolation, the whole gambit. So I am brand new. I've gone down the rabbit hole many a night, many a sleepless night. I've watched The Guardian, anything that's in publication or on the internet, I go down that rabbit hole, YouTube videos. I even most recently watched, I'm certain if you guys watched the Edith and Eddie documentary.
I've seen about everything so far. Hey, are you able to come on
here
to our radio show in the near future here? And be one of our guests to talk about this?
I would be honored. I'd be honored to share our story. This is a little bit different between my situation and everyone else's is I actually haven't had too much legal interaction. Most I've done is I attempted to file. I'm a single mom. I don't have the means for an attorney. And even if I did have the means, I don't trust them. I feel that they're all in bed together. It's the common consensus that we all share I honestly feel no one's going to care about Youssef. No one's going to care about Skyler except for the person that's actively and avidly fighting for their reunion. And to an attorney, he'd be nothing but another check.
I will give you a call probably after the show if I have time tonight to talk to you a little bit more about this, get you up onto our show. The more stories we expose, and our last gentleman that called in and talked about remedies, we always encourage anybody to come onto our show and talk about remedies on what we have to do. We encourage them, and we keep our lines open every single Wednesday to make sure everybody joins us Wednesday night. You're here on the Hidden Truth Revealed channel on Blog Talk Radio. Families Against Court Embezzlement on Ethical Standards, face us. We want them to face us, right?
That's right.
Face us, face us. We always say that whenever we want to. But we are out of time tonight on this radio show, and we'll be back again next week. And tonight was open mic night, so thank you for all of our listeners that called in.
Yep.
We appreciate that. So much, I can't even tell you. Hey, Hillary,
one of you. We appreciate you.
Do you have anything to say before we go off air?
I just like, first and foremost, to thank all of our callers, our friends for calling in. The last lady who called is from New Jersey. I'm from Queens. So, glad to have you on.
Hey,
unfortunately, I always say that the guardianship situation nightmare with my dad was worse than losing my mother to cancer. But I have to say I have met and become friends with basically everyone, and lifelong friends. And so we're so glad for our friends that call in. And of course, Luann and Robin were and still are a lifeline to me at the worst time. So we're grateful, and I'm grateful to be on the show. So thank you, Luann and Robin.
Absolutely.
Right, and we have one more caller that just put their hand up, the 720 number. You ought to have something real fast to say.
Luann.
720, you're on the air?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Luann, I've got another case, a horrible case. This is killing, and I need to talk to you. ASAP.
Okay. I know who you are exactly. Why don't you go ahead and text me, and I'll get your information again.
Okay. Text you. I've been trying to. Okay.
I'm glad you called because I needed your phone number. Okay, so, and I'm writing it down right now, and I'll call you after the show.
Thank you, Luann.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Bye-bye. That lady that called in is one of my most favorite people here in Colorado. She's kept me up to date for the last at least 7 to 8 years on everything. She's been in legislation with me. Thank you so much for calling in and still keeping in touch with us. We just love you. Anyway, transparency, what was it? What was I saying?
Justice requires transparency and accountability. And never quit.
Giving up is not an option. I remember being in the hospital really, really sick. That's one thing that came over my mind is giving up is not an option.
If you rule that out, then it gives you perseverance, and perseverance will carry you when nothing else will.
We will see everybody again next week, and God bless everybody.
We love you. We honor you. We appreciate
you. Good night, Marcy.
You.
We love you.
God bless us, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Good night.
There you go. We're going to play let's play this NASCAR commercial one more time.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit StopGuardianAbuse.org.